I just got back from a week-long mission trip in Joplin, Missouri. I went with my last parish, and so it was advancing in Crystal Lake, and went out to, we went to Springfield, Missouri. We went to Missouri State University in Mizzou, and after going from Mizzou at a Steubenville conference, a youth conference, to get everyone excited about the faith, and we went on to Joplin, and we spent a week working on houses and fixing things up from the tornado, and then we came back. And while we were there, we actually stayed in Quapaw, Oklahoma. I know what you're thinking. Yes, it is the Quapaw, Oklahoma of great notoriety. No, I've never heard of it either. So I stayed in Quapaw, Oklahoma, and I got in the car with a caravan of six other vehicles at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and arrived back in Dixon at the ever so easy hour of 2 a.m. on Saturday morning, and then had a wedding at 1 o'clock. So I'm pretty sure this homily makes sense. Everyone else said it made sense, although I'm starting to wonder if they're just smiling and nodding and hoping I'll be brief. So, one of the great gifts of being able to go on this mission trip and to really spend this time is our evenings were spent at a ranch. It was called Big Sky Ranch, and we got to stay there, and there were four cabins where various groups would go in, and it's everything that you could imagine summer camp to be. They had a nice big lake and a water slide and horseback riding and a zip line, and we did none of those things. We went into town and we worked, but you know, they had those things, and you know, we'd try and race back and try and do one or two of them. But while we were there, there was another group there that filled most of the rest of the cabins, and they were called Solace Church, S-O-L-A-C-E, Solace or Solace, Solace Church. And as soon as we pulled up and they saw this, and all the kids in my group saw the sign, and they saw Solus Church, and they went, "Solus Church, what did they believe, Father?" And I had to honestly say to them, I have no idea. Go ask them. Go find out. You know, go talk to them. Most of the kids on the camp were, you know, 9 to 12 years old, so they didn't ask them. They went to their counselors, and they went to them, and they were so excited, they ran over, and they're like, "What do you believe?" And they looked at him and said, "What? We believe in Jesus. That's what we believe." They said, no, but I mean, what denomination are you?" And they had no idea what that meant. That was even more confusing. They said, but what makes you different? You know, your Solus Church, what marks you as Solus Church?" And they actually struggled to answer it. They really struggled. And then they got upset. And then they got so upset they looked at our kids and they said, "Well, what do you believe?" And of course, my kids just came off a three-day conference for a student retreat, and they all looked at them and said, "Well, let me tell you what I believe." And then they started to walk through the Nicene Creed and mark all the highlights of our faith. And I was so proud. I didn't have to coach them or anything. They were all on this. And it was this beautiful, beautiful reminder of how excited we can be for our faith. As I was reflecting on them, the joy that was reflected in each one of them, and really seeing this great reflection, I thought about this song. You know, I was reading the readings coming for the weekend. It was on my mind, and the psalm really jumped out at me. This, "Lord, I love your commands." My high schoolers were not satisfied with this "I don't really know" kind of answer, so they all whipped out their cell phones and they found Solus Church's website, and they wanted to know what they believed. And so they went to their website and they pulled up the site, and sure enough, it has two precepts. The entire back of their church, they stand on two principles. It says, "Love God" in all caps. And then it says, "Love everybody." And I thought, we do that too. Is that it? Apparently it was. That was it. Love God, love everybody. It seems simple and straightforward. And yet, my kids came back to me and said, "Gosh, that seems kind of overly simple, doesn't it?" And I made them talk about it. I made them kind of flesh out the idea. And really, I came back to the psalm again. "Lord, I love your commands." You know, I hear the criticism from time to time that, you know, gosh, the church has all these rules. And I nod slowly and said, yeah, we have a lot of rules. But why? Which one would you like to remove? Which one is in the way?" And they might pick one, try and just sort of lock one out and say, "Well, we need to get rid of this one." But then we have to look at it as that connected thread. If we get rid of this one, then this one becomes irrelevant, and this doesn't work, and this part doesn't make sense. And it's kind of like pulling that one piece of thread from the fabric. You know, it all kind of links back together. "Lord, I love your command." It's that great reminder to us that if we get too vague, if we take too far a step back, it actually becomes kind of confusing in a different way. imagine a professor coming in to teach class and saying, okay, what you need to pass this class is work hard and read well. No tests, no assignments, no grades, no books, nothing. Just came in and said, work hard, read well. How are we going to pass that class? Love God, love everybody. It's great for a start. It's kind of vague and it's actually filling it out. It could go any number of directions. How am I supposed to love everybody? How often am I supposed to love everybody? What is it supposed to come down to? Lord, I love your commands. This is a great reminder to us that I'm not saying the church is flawless. I mean, Christ is the head of the church and he's flawless, but you know, I'm human and I'm attached to the church. And I'm telling you right now, I'm far from flawless, but there's a real gift in this instruction. There's a real gift in what the psalmist is trying to say, that we shouldn't necessarily try and look at the rubrics of the instruction of the church as some kind of restriction trying to keep us from having a good time. It's not some kind of rules that are trying to drag us down and separate us from all the fun, but actually, it's a structure that we're built on to instruct us, to guide us, and to really fill out this great reminder to us of what we're doing. You know, we get it from Paul right there. We know that these things work for the good who love God. Well, how do they do those things? Well, because they're fulfilling the law. They're following through on this. It really gets expressed in this gospel. If we see God's church, if we see this great reminder of the kingdom of heaven, if we see this as a great treasure, and it says right there, the kingdom of heaven is like that treasure buried in a field. What makes it special about that field? Well, people pass by that field all the time. We have to be looking for it. It's not like it's just going to come out and bite us. But we actually have to be looking for it. We look for it, and we live out these commands, and we see the fulfillment of God in all of these things so that we might know something great. And then when we find that treasure, it might look like it's in that unremarkable field, but when we come face to face with that treasure, well, then we sell everything for it. Sell off worldly power and worldly gain and whatever it is that the world's trying to offer us, influence or money or control or any of those things, we should be ready to sell them all off so that we might have that kingdom of heaven. More precious to us than anything else that the world can offer us. And while those precepts may seem frustrating at times, they really are there to guide us, to help us, and to inform us, so that we might live a life loving God, loving everybody, and carrying that gospel message forward, so that others might know of that treasure, so that they too can see its value, and sell everything else in the world, so that we can have it. Now, I'm not saying we can buy heaven, I don't want to be confusing in that regard, but we have to be willing to give up everything else if we're really going to hold on to heaven first. That's what we're called to do each and every day of our lives. And that's what we live into in this gospel.